But it made me realize how many people did not understand or really truly understand, like, people don't really look at us like we're humans in uniform. Like, they just have this perception about us based off of, I guess, like, video games or movies or whatever. Like, they don't see the humans. And for me, that piqued my interest. Like, I want you guys to see us. Like, there's so much more behind the uniform.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of The DINFOS Way. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Joining us today is Army Captain Angelina Garland. She's a DINFOS grad who's here now as a student in the Public Affairs, Communications, and Strategy Qualifications course, and she's here today to talk about her dual life as a soldier and a social media influencer. She's been a part of social media since 2012, and the focus of our talk today will be a topic of great interest to our students, and the question we get more than any other about this: how do I maintain a life as a service member and an influencer while following all of the rules that apply to us? So, Captain Garland, thanks for joining us on this very important episode.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I wanted to say it was a special episode, like it was the 80s, like we were like,
yeah,
doing after school. So it's a very special episode. But no, it's really important. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So how's your time in the PAX-Q course going so far?
Oh, it's rigorous. But they say that, right? Yeah. There's a lot of information that I am obtaining, a lot of insight that I didn't have before. And especially with now, you know, all the time that I spent on social media, there's a lot of correlation between the two that I didn't even realize, being a public affairs officer and also, you know, having my social media presence. There's a lot of ways that I can now kind of leverage my presence and still understand, like, hey, at the end of the day, like, I have a personal brand, the Army has a brand, the military has a brand, and how do I navigate that space without, you know, kind of crossing those lines or blurring those lines too much? So it's been really insightful, to say the least.
That's great.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your career, how you joined the Army, and how you got to be here today.
Yeah, so I joined in October 2009. Well, I left for basic training in October 2009. I actually joined my second semester of my senior year in high school, and I had no intention of joining the military up until that point. My mom made me sign up for junior ROTC in high school, and it was Air Force junior ROTC. And unfortunately, because of my lack of discipline and my attitude, my sophomore year, I actually got kicked out of JROTC. And when it came time for my senior year, my guidance counselor told me, she said, hey, like, if you want to graduate on time, you have to go back and finish out JROTC. And so I was not a big fan, but thanks to my instructor at the time, Staff Sergeant retired Doherty, he interviewed me. He allowed me back into the program. And, you know, in JROTC, you have to wear your uniform. So one day going into the cafeteria, I walked in there and there were some Army recruiters, and me with my personality, I walk up in there and I walk straight up to them and I'm like, hey, you're in uniform. I'm in uniform. What's up? And they was like, hey, like, fill out this card. And I'm like, don't mind if I do, not realizing that they're recruiting me. And that evening, I took the pre-ASVAB. The next day, I took the ASVAB. And that weekend, I was signing into MEPS or swearing into MEPS. And I'm like, this is crazy. It happened so quickly, but it was the best decision that I could make coming out of Lynchburg, Virginia. Like, I knew I wanted to get out of there, but I didn't know how that was going to happen. So I enlisted as a 25 Bravo, which is an information technology specialist, served 5 years, enlisted, was not a fan of being IT because that wasn't the side of my brain that I normally use a lot. But I always knew that I was interested in broadcasting and journalism. Like, I wanted to be a sports news broadcaster when I was in high school. I just didn't know, like, how I could make it to that point. And then I found out about the public affairs branch when I was stationed in Fort Bliss and 1-1 Brigade. And I saw that there was a public affairs office and I saw the things that they were doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the Army has this? Like, I didn't even know there was an enlisted side until I actually came here to be the Army deck commander. But I was like, okay, I want to do that. I want to be a public affairs officer. So I applied for the Army Green to Go program, which allowed me to go back to college, obtain my bachelor's. I got that in mass communications, and I graduated from the Norfolk State University. Unfortunately, for the Army branch, we can't, or at the time, we couldn't branch straight or commission straight into public affairs. And so I had to choose another job before I could apply for this job. So I commissioned as an adjutant general officer, which is human resources, personnel management. Did that for a couple of years until I had the opportunity to apply to transfer into this branch. And I was so happy when it happened. I actually made a TikTok video and an Instagram video, like, celebrating that. Like, I'm finally a public affairs officer. And it was like, it, you know, the journey felt like, okay, we're here in full circle. Like, you've worked so hard for this moment. Like, you took the necessary steps. You gained the experience that you needed. And here I am now going through PAX-Q. And I'm like, I can't believe, like, in 2013, that's when I made the decision to take this route. I can't believe that I'm finally here. And it feels like yesterday when I made that decision. So being here, being in this moment, sitting here in this room with you guys is honestly surreal for me, because I just never thought that this could happen, but I'm so happy to be here and to, like, have this journey that I've had. Like, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. So, yeah, I know, quick crash course in Angelina's life, but yeah.
Thank you for that crash course. I appreciate it. Yeah. You've had, like, a really cool, really exciting career, and now you're here as a public affairs officer, which mm-hmm. gels so well with what you've been doing in your social media.
Yeah.
And when we were talking pre-show, I was really excited because you mentioned that you've been doing it for so long that you started with your MySpace page. And of course, I had a MySpace page.
Yeah.
So it was nice to relate with that. But tell me a little bit about your social media career and how that started and how it's taken off to where you are today.
Yeah. So again, like, MySpace was really big when I was in middle school. Oh, I'm telling my age. In middle school and in high school. And I was so into HTML coding and JavaScript. And MySpace gave us that opportunity, but it was the social aspect that I was not anticipating. Again, coming from Lynchburg, Virginia, small town, small city, I only knew that. Like, the only time my family traveled was for church trips, and it was to an amusement park in North Carolina or Dollywood in Tennessee. And so I was very ignorant to the world. Like, I didn't know. Like, I would see on TV, of course, and then, you know, with what the internet offered at the time, like how people acted and what different cultures were amongst us. But I didn't have that personal interaction. And so MySpace gave me that opportunity to do that. And I was so blown away. Like, again, I can talk to someone in Texas or in California. Like, this is crazy. And as time progressed, graduating high school, Facebook became accessible. Because at that time, you know, like, Facebook, you had to be in college to be able to interact with other people or even sign up for the app. And so once they opened it up to a bigger audience, I definitely took more advantage of it. And around that time, that's when I enlisted in the Army, and I was in basic training in AIT, and, like, Facebook just really skyrocketed. Like, I'm away from the outside world, being in basic training and kind of in AIT as well. So I didn't realize, like, how much it had grown until I actually went to my first duty station in Korea. And social media was the catalyst for me being able to communicate with my family members. And so I was heavily into that. And again, just seeing how much you could interact with people that you never thought you could interact with. But it wasn't until 2012 when I think Instagram came about in 2011, but I didn't get onto the platform until 2012. And I'm like, man, like, pictures. I like taking pictures. Like, this is a cool little thing. And so I went onto Instagram, and about a year later, I will never forget, I went to an all-white party when I was stationed at Fort Bliss in 2013. And, you know, like, on Instagram, like, it's just blocks, right? Like, of pictures. It's just a whole collage. Like, that's your profile. And, I mean, dang, it's crazy to think about it, but you couldn't post videos at the time. It was just pictures. And I posted a photo. It was a side profile of me in a white dress. And I'm like, oh, this is cute. And then the following Monday, one of my coworkers took a picture of me. It was side profile of me being in a uniform. And they were right beside each other. And I remember looking at my profile like, dang, the uniform hides a lot. And so I took the two photos and made a collage. And it's, again, crazy to think that in 2013, like, collages, picture collages was not a thing. But I posted it, and then it just blew. It blew up. And there were so many people coming to my profile saying, oh, my gosh, like, women in the military are feminine, or they can, you know, they look like that. Like, it was just mind-boggling to me, because I'm like, I look like this every day. Like, I dress like this all the time. But it made me realize, like, how many people did not understand, like, or it made me see, like, or really truly understand, like, people don't really look at us like we're humans in uniform. Like, they just have this perception about us based off of, I guess, like, video games or movies or whatever. Like, they don't see the humans. And for me, that piqued my interest. Like, I want you guys to see us. Like, there's so much more behind the uniform. And so I started to post more pictures. And as I gradually did that, I started to see, like, okay, I have people's attention based off of what they see. And I'm understanding the concept behind social media of, like, hey, if you're visually appealing, right, people are more inclined to hear what you're saying. And because social media can be a very negative space, and I am naturally an optimistic and positive person, I wanted to counter that as well. So over time, I started to post more positive quotes and captions, because then captions really started to become a thing a few years later. And so now I have their eyes and I have their ears. And while I'm going along this journey in my Army career, I realized that I'm telling a story and people are following this story. Like, they're giving me feedback. And that's when, like, the I Am Angelina brand just started to, you know, grow. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, people like what they see. They like what they're hearing. And I have a story to tell. There were a lot of significant events that happened or occurred along the way, including, like, when I was a victim of a drive-by shooting. And again, when you see me, like, you just never think that that would be something that would happen, but it did. And it's important to share, because at the end of the day, like, life is so short. You never know what it could throw at you. But also, like, there's so many lessons that come out of life. And I wanted people to see that as well. Like, hey, you know, just because I'm in uniform doesn't mean that I'm immune to, you know, what life has to offer. And just because I'm not deployed doesn't mean that bad things can't happen here at home. But what do you take out of that? Like, how can you learn from those lessons and continue to move forward, continue to achieve the goals that you want and you set for yourself? And so that's how the whole Dream It, Believe It, Achieve It brand or slogan came about, that's associated with I Am Angelina, because that's literally been the story of my life. Just, there's setbacks, but how do you bounce back? You know, there's resiliency, and the Army's all about that. Like, how can you be strong enough to endure? And so that's how I was able to kind of leverage, like, yes, there's Angelina and she goes through personal things, but the Army has helped me along the way to be able to overcome it and having people to see, like, it works together. And then there's a separation between the two as well, because I don't want you to just see Specialist Garland, Cadet Garland, Lieutenant Garland, or Captain Garland. Like, I want you to see Angelina, and the Army's a part of that. And so this journey along social media was me being able to tell that story of, like, hey, you can be you and you can still serve while being you, and it will work. But at the end of the day, like, you still have to understand, like, this is a brand. Like, you can build your personal brand, but the Army is a brand too. The military is a brand too. And when people see you in uniform, a lot of times they don't see what's on the right side of your uniform. They look at what's on the left side. And if they say U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, Coast Guard, the Marines, like, they're going to judge you based off of that. So there's a certain level of responsibility if you put yourself out there. In that way, like, you have to understand, like, you're not just representing yourself, you're representing a whole institution. And that's a very, very, very big weight to carry. And you have to. And if you don't carry it responsibly, you can be held accountable for that. And for me, I don't like getting in trouble. So there's always something in the back of my head, like, you know, I have to make sure I'm doing the right thing.
You said so many important things there. You touched on a lot of really important points that I wanted to talk about. So that was great. You know, biggest thing being, you know, the responsibility that we have as service members to conduct ourselves appropriately. And not only that, but how vital it is to showcase the humans behind the uniform. Because as you said, so many people only see the uniform. They play Call of Duty or they watch TV shows and they don't know as much about us as human beings. And it's such an awesome responsibility to do that appropriately, to do it correctly, and to do it effectively, which clearly by the numbers that you have behind your social media posts and your social media pages, you know, you've met those goals. So talk to me about what it's like to do this effectively and also make sure you're coloring inside the lines and following all the rules and regulations that we have to do to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. So I remember in 2022, that's when the Army started to kind of recognize my social media presence, because that's when the Office of the Chief of Public Affairs first started to leverage social media influencers, but they called it social media brand ambassadors, because the term influencer tends to have a negative connotation associated with it, and they wanted it to be a positive thing. But I remember at the time, that's when the Department of War came out with the social media policy. And right around that time, Garmont reached out to me and wanted me to be a brand ambassador for their new boot, and it was their first female boot. And I remember being excited, like, oh my gosh, like, this is cool, da da da. But then, like, immediately I was like, ooh, but can I do this? Like, and there was, I didn't not know of any, like, rules against it, but immediately I was like, okay, like, I have a presence, and I want to make sure I'm doing this responsibly. And so I reached out to our public affairs officer. I was stationed in D.C. at the time, assigned to the Military District of Washington. And I contacted our PAO, and I'm like, hey, like, you know, can I do this? And they're like, no, you can't, you know. And I was like, well, why? And then they showed me the social media policy. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And so I started to dive into that even more. And that's when I realized, like, oh, wow, like, you know, you should have a disclaimer. And, you know, there's your left and right limits that, you know, if you're going to be in uniform, and the concept of official capacity versus unofficial capacity became so clear to me. Like, there's a difference between Angelina Garland, who's serving in the United States Army, versus Captain Angelina Garland. And if you're in uniform, you represent Captain Angelina Garland. I mean, and Angelina Garland, who's a captain in the United States Army, there's still, you know, that tie. There's still that connection. So, yes, like, I can be a little bit more free and more me, but at the end of the day, I still put myself out there as a soldier. And so people will always, you know, look at me in that way. They will judge me for it based off of how I conduct myself on social media. And that was my first indication of, hey, there's a responsibility that comes with putting yourself out there on social media as a soldier. And again, like, I don't like getting in trouble and I want to be careful. But I also think it's an opportunity to show people that you still can balance between the two. And even though there are certain opportunities that come your way, like the Garmont sponsorship, doesn't mean that you can't leverage what social media has to offer. Like, I think the most rewarding thing about doing what I do on social media are the amount of people that I get to positively impact, influence. I will never forget, you know, I was student company commander from March 2024 to March 2026. And my first sergeant and I, every time we had a group of new soldiers come through, we would give them an in-brief just to introduce ourselves, you know, explain our expectations and get to know them. And when it would get to the point of us getting to know them, we would ask them, like, why did you join the Army? Why did you choose public affairs? Blah, blah, blah. And I will never forget this one soldier. She told us, and she could not look me in my eyes. And, but she said, I joined public affairs and I chose this MOS. She was a 46 Sierra. because she came across one of my TikTok videos, and I talked about being in public affairs, and she saw that, and she immediately was like, I want to do that. And to me, it was such a full circle moment, and I was so full of gratitude. And of course, I couldn't show it because I'm like, I'm your commander. Like, I have to, you know, or whatever. But it just was confirmation of what I do. And and I'm all about the impact. Like, that's what my platform is about, motivating and inspiring the next generation of leaders. And it doesn't have to be the military. It's just unlocking that in our next generation. Like, they have value and they need to see that. They should be able to do whatever they want to do. And even if they come from a specific background, like, it doesn't mean that you can't achieve what your heart desires. Like, you just have to go after it. And a lot of the times people don't have that representation of that. They have to see it. And I understood that too about our generation coming after us. Like, they got to see it to believe it. They need something to tell them, to show them, like, oh, wow, like, that person is me. Like, that person, you know, understands what I'm going through or what I've been through. And they're look at what they're doing. And I felt like I had a responsibility associated with that. But at the same time, like, it doesn't mean that it comes with a cost, you know. And us being in the military, yes, we have rules. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that, like, for me, it helped me out with my discipline. It got my attitude in check really quickly after high school, and I'm appreciative of that. So going through social media can one post can definitely, you know, go left, and it could, you know, ruin your life. And being in the Army, when you have those left and right limits, it helps you not find yourself in that situation. And it is disheartening to see so many service members who don't try to leverage that and just, you know, are kind of careless with that, because at the end of the day, is virality really worth your future? Is it really worth, you know, all the work you've put in to get to where you're at, just for people to say, oh, you did that? Or, you know, virality is very short. You know, to be able to maintain a social media presence, that takes work, you know, like, especially after all this time, you know, in 2012, like, you have to keep up with the trends. You have to understand what platforms work for you, what doesn't, your audiences.
Oh, yeah. It's a ton of stuff.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't take one post and then boom, like, you're in. Like, no, you have to keep it up. So if you can't keep it up, if that's not where your goal is, like, why would you put everything that you're working towards off of social media at risk?
You know, you mentioned, excuse me, I'm sorry. You mentioned during that some stuff that I thought was really interesting, but I wanted to ask you about your branding, because you've mentioned a couple of times your brand. I want to talk about your goals in social media, your branding, and sort of how that aligns with the Army's branding too, because I know that's a concern of yours.
Yeah. So, I mean, my individual brand, again, is inspiring and motivating the next generation of leaders. I am an Army officer, right? As soon as I became a second lieutenant, like, I'm an automatic leader, even though I'm at the bottom of the totem pole on officer side. Like, when you're an officer, like, you are expected to lead. And I never took that lightly, especially being prior enlisted and watching leaders. And you learn from all type of leaders. You learn from the ones that, you know, were positive, had a positive impact, and you learn from the ones that had a negative impact. And for me personally, I learned more from the leaders that I did not want to be like, just because I'm like, hey, like, I know how that made me feel, and I don't want people to feel like that. And so when I commissioned as an officer, I already had a social media presence. And so that weight, that level of responsibility became even greater, because again, they've seen me go from enlisted to officer. I know as an enlisted person what an officer means and what that looks like and how much weight that carries. And I didn't want to fumble that. And with my voice already being amplified on social media, it's even more amplified as a leader. And it's not it makes it easier for me to be able to walk into a room and speak the way that I speak and to lead that the way that I lead, because it's my core value. It's hey, look, I want the best for you. I care about you. I want to see you succeed. I will hold you accountable. All those things. And all of that translates into my social media because I hold myself to the same standard. Like, I have goals for myself. I want to succeed. And I want people to be able to see me as an example of where you can come from and where you can go. You don't have to be negative all the time. You don't have to perform a certain way just to get to where you want to be. You don't have to develop some sort of persona just to make people like you. You can be exactly who you are with the goals that you have and still get there. It doesn't take all of the imposter syndrome and the comparison. Like, you don't need that. And in the military, like, we have to understand that too. Like, we all join for our own reason. We're a part of a big team, but us as individuals, we also have that value and we need to bring that to the table with it in any job that we have. Like, there's a reason why you're there and you have to bring that into every organization that you're in. So if you don't understand that about yourself, then why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you, you know, like, it's, at the end of the day, like, are you just collecting a paycheck or you actually want to contribute to this organization? Like, that's the great thing about being in the military. Like, we have an opportunity to do something greater than ourselves. That's the same thing on social media. Like, you have the opportunity to do something greater than yourself. You can either just promote who you are and you know, do things for selfish reasons, or you can use your voice, your influence to help others in whatever capacity that is. Like, I have all kinds of food pages that I follow because I wanted to get better at cooking, you know, like, and that's people leveraging their influence. Like, it's bigger than themselves and all the work that they have to put in, all the money they have to spend to just get the ingredients and to film what they have just so that I can become a better cook. Like, it's the same thing with what I do. Like, I put in the effort just so that people can see, like, hey, you know, you can do this too. And it translates right into the military, being a leader, being an Army officer. Like, all the effort that I put in behind the scenes is so that you can be better and you can do better. And so all of that merges together. It's just literally my life. So it makes it very easy to bounce between the two because what the Army requires of me to do aligns with what I already value on and off of social media.
What is, students love personal stories, and so I want to ask you, what is the coolest person you've met or the coolest experience that you've had because of your dual life as a soldier and a
brand ambassador? Oh my gosh, I've met so many people. Oh my goodness, goodness, goodness. I think that, I don't know. So are you asking, like, the coolest
just
person
something
I've
cool
met?
You've really done or somebody cool you've met or just a fun story?
Because it's social media or, okay, so I think the coolest thing that happened was when I was working in my last job at the, U.S. Army Military District of Washington as a Ceremonies Operations OIC. And we, because of my position, like, I had the unique opportunity of working at the executive level for all things ceremony related. So I was charged with escorting the first lady, the vice president, foreign dignitaries, foreign first ladies, just super cool. And I got to participate in inauguration, and that was really dope. But it wasn't until January 2022 when my boss called me on a Friday. And on my team, I have two ceremonies NCOs, but I also have a mortuary affairs NCO. And at the time, we were planning Chief of Staff of the Army, General Ordiano's funeral. He was previous Chief of Staff of the Army. And I did not have any hands-on responsibility for anything mortuary affairs. I just, you know, was the supervisor. And so for that specific mission, like, I didn't have a role. And then my boss calls me, the funeral is that following Wednesday. He calls me on that Friday and he's like, hey, the White House by name wants you to escort the president because he and the first lady they decided they're going to attend. And I'm like, okay, you know, and at the time, like, we're teleworking, like, it's still pandemic era, and so I'm like, okay. He's like, so get your uniform ready, and I'm like, okay. So the day comes, and I found out that morning, they're like, hey, not only will you be escorting them to the Ravens head coach, John Harbaugh, was going to be there as well. He was going to give the invocation and not, excuse me, the benediction. And you're going to have to like cue him to go up to the stage and blah, blah, blah. And my now ex-husband, he is a Ravens fan. His whole family are Ravens fan. They're from Baltimore. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is super cool. So I remember that day, I had asked, like, it was the Department of the Army protocol, like, hey, so can I ask him for an autograph? And they're like, no, it's unprofessional. And I'm like, okay. So we go through the funeral, and I have this, like, really iconic picture with President Biden because I just got promoted to captain, and one of his staffers told him, like, hey, you know, Captain Garland, she just got promoted. And he remembers me, obviously, from previous missions and inauguration. And he comes up to me, and he's like, so, you know, my son... you know, his son that passed away and who served as a major. He's like, you know what his favorite rank is in the Army? And I was like, no, sir. And he was like, Master Sergeant. And I was like, oh, that's a really good rank, sir. And like, they were capturing pictures, like, during that time. And, but it was just so funny, like, just a really cool, like, you know, personal moment. Like, I'm a captain, and I'm talking to the commander-in-chief of our military. Like, that so was cool. Just... You know, again, I come from Lynchburg, Virginia. You know, like, who would have thought this little girl who got kicked out of JROTC would be walking next to the President of the United States? And then afterwards, when my team and I, we were waiting in the parking lot for the procession to take General Ordiano's body down to the cemetery to bury it, I see Coach Harbaugh walk across the parking lot, and I'm like, go Ravens, even though I'm a Rams fan, like I'm diehard. But I'm like, go Ravens. And he turns around. He's like, are you from Baltimore? And I was like, no, but my husband is. And I go walking up to him and I'm talking to him. And I was like, sir, can I just get a selfie with you, you know, so I can send to my husband? He's like, of course. And he took my phone and took the selfie. And one of my coworkers took an actual full body photo. And I remember posting this on social media. And the whole reason behind the story time was to show people, hey, when an opportunity knocks at your door, sometimes you just have to walk through. And that was it. Like, even though I was, like, against, like, well, not against, but, like, you know, I wasn't happy that my boss told me, like, hey, you have to, you know, be a part of this mission. But what came out of it was beautiful, and it was such an exciting moment for me. And I never thought that that could happen. But I knew I had to show that, or I had to share it to social media, because, again, like, this little girl from Lynchburg, Virginia is now walking beside the president. Like, this specialist or this PFC that joined the Army is now a captain walking beside the commander-in-chief. Like, who would have thought? But it's important that I share this because, again, I'm all about inspiring and motivating, and I need people to see, like, if you dream it, you can believe it, and you can achieve it. And that's literally have been my life. But you have to be willing, you know, to walk through those doors and take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you. So that was really cool.
There's so many valuable lessons there. Thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Have you experienced any negative impacts from social media? And if so, how did you overcome it or leverage it for the positive?
Yes. So, again, being student company commander, it was funny to me because I didn't realize that my soldiers did not understand, like, how people associate or correlate social media with the public affairs career field. So they just, if they're not in our career field, they automatically think we are subject matter experts. Like, every single public affairs soldier officer just understands everything about social media, loves social media, wants to be on social media, which is not the case. Right. And, last summer, I like to say I caught a stray because I had two soldiers that were on live, and unfortunately, they were in incorrect uniform, and there was another influencer that picked up on it and made a post about it. And although he did not say specifically who the soldier was assigned to or what unit that soldier was assigned to, he did put, you know, cues out there. Like, he's a trainee. He's at Fort Meade. And everybody knows, like, student company is at Fort Meade. He's in an Army uniform. Like, that's the Army detachment, right? And people started to put the pieces together. And they, you know, people are in the comments, like, that's student company, that's student company. And then another page picked that up, a meme page. And they made a post talking about these two trainees, but they specifically tagged me in it. And they were like, you know, like, of course these soldiers are undisciplined. Look at their commander. Like, she's on TikTok and that's all she cares about. And it was definitely hard to deal with because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still their commander. I'm still their leader. People don't know what these soldiers are going through outside of it or outside of social media. And they also don't understand. And what I learned is that they don't understand, like, you know, as a commander, like, I am not around them all the time. And so what they do on their off time, you know, at the it's just like if somebody gets a DUI, it's like, hey, like, they made that decision off time. Like, I wasn't with them driving, but, you know, you still have to handle this situation. And that was kind of a situation like that, like, oh my gosh, like, this happened. So what do you do about it? I remember going to work the next day and thinking to myself, like, how many of my soldiers have seen that post? Like, it's gaining traction. And how do you operate in this type of environment, knowing, like, this is circulating out there, but you still have to be their commander? Those two soldiers, like, you can't treat them differently because this happened, because you're fair and impartial. Like, you have that responsibility as that commander. So what do you do? And, you know, speaking with my first sergeant about it, you know, we had to, like, incorporate that in training and really, really hone in on the fact of, like, hey, like, how you conduct yourself on social media, it gets back to your leadership. You know, you don't know who it could affect. You know, like, I was completely separate from that situation, but now, like, my reputation is being attacked, my character is being attacked, my leadership is being attacked, and I was not there in that room, you know, and these people don't know what's going on in my company. You know, they don't know what we're dealing with. They don't know, again, what these soldiers are going through. And but, you know, they made an assumption based off of, you know, the lack of judgment of two trainees, right? And they're trainees. You know, they're learning how to become soldiers, you know. But again, like, the social media space can be so unforgiving. But I will tell you, the it was very hard to go through that. It really was. And that's the human aspect, right? Like, you know, the mental health, like, again, like, people, they see us in uniform and they think we're Superman or robots or whatever. Like, we just don't have feelings. And that weighed very heavily on me. But the best thing that could have come out of that situation was seeing one of my trainees actually post under or comment under that post and talked about, like, me as a commander. And then to see, like, other trainees, like, liking that trainee's comments, and it made me emotional. I can't even lie, because I'm like, thank you, right? Because I had to decide as to whether or not I wanted to respond to it. Like, do I give this energy or do I not? Like, I know who I am. I know who I am as a leader. I know what I do for this company. I know the level of care. I know that discipline, and any Stuco soldier will tell you, like, discipline, I harp that all day, every day. And just because these people that don't know me creates this post based off of the assumption doesn't define, like, who I am and what I'm doing. But it's also super gratifying to know, like, the people that you are leading actually see you and they feel the impact and felt the need to speak up when it matters. And then after she did, there were a couple other soldiers that commented under the post, and I'm like, oh, thank you, God. But, you know, again, like, it's things like that. Like, it's cool to have a social media presence, but, you know, you also put yourself out there to, you know, face situations like this. But at the same time, like, it's how you respond to that, because I do see a lot of soldiers responding negatively, you know, to things. Like, they can't handle the pressure of people just spitting whatever they want on social media, saying whatever they want. And you have to learn how to block out the noise. You have to learn how to just keep your mouth shut, freaking hit the block button, you know, like, report that, whatever you got to do to protect your sanity, protect your mental health, because being on social media can be consuming and it can be taxing on your mental health and how you, and question how you see yourself and how you feel about yourself if you allow it. And then especially in uniform, because you have that responsibility, you're protecting not just your brand, but the Army's brand or the military's brand. You have to be mindful of how you respond to people because you're not representing yourself in that moment. You're representing something bigger than yourself. And if you understand that, if you think about that every time somebody comes to your page and says something that you don't like, hey, is it worth my future? Is it worth my future? Is my opinion, this comment I'm about to make to this person that is irrelevant to my life, is it worth everything that I put in to get to where I'm at? And I just like, we just had to harp on that so much with our soldiers so they just understand like your presence on social media, if you align it with the uniform, you have to make sure that whatever you say, whatever you do, however you conduct yourself is not just impactful to you, it's impactful to, you know, what you do on a daily basis, which will in turn impact your future. And you have to always be mindful of that.
Man, what a really important story to share because, I mean, it was something that happened to you tangentially, and it was important to hear how high you highlighted how fast things occurred in that space and how it affected you, and especially mental health related, yeah. Which, you know, people don't – we post on social media and we don't think about the repercussions to our actions, especially as service members, right?
Yeah.
And it's so important to remember that not only do you represent yourself and your brand, but the brand of the uniform that you're wearing as well and the name on your chest that you represent. So – man, that was really valuable. Can you share anything from the social media policies or anything that we haven't talked about, rules or regulations-wise, that you think social media folks should need to know if they're service members as well? Anything that might be a surprise to them or anything that just is really important for them to know about the rules, the regulations, staying safe online?
Yeah, so number one, do not endorse in uniform. Do not endorse anything that could even speculate that the military is sponsoring whatever it is. That right there will get you in so much trouble. Like, I understand.
We see it so often that, right. that people endorse a product online because yeah. they don't have any idea.
They don't have any. Do not do that. Like, you cannot do that, okay? You cannot monetize in uniform. Like, that is 1,000% against DOD policy or DOW policy. Like, you cannot do that. Do not do that. If you want to make money on the side, you have to have a clear separation, a clear distinction. Again, like I talk about the unofficial capacity versus the official capacity. So anytime a brand has come to me, there plenty of times, there are people, because I'm in the military and they see my influence, they want to use that to kind of leverage whatever they want me to promote. And I tell them straight up, like, I can't do that. Like, if you want me to promote this, I can't do it in uniform. If you want to endorse this, like, I have to be very clear that it's Angelina doing it and not the Army or the military. Like, you cannot do that. And so if you have any questions, if you have to question as to whether or not it's okay to do, then don't do it. The money is not worth it, because if the military is your primary source of income, like that little whatever extra money you can make from this product, like it's not worth it. It's not. Secondly, like whatever you say on social media, how you conduct yourself, at the end of the day, uniform code and military justice is a thing. You can and will be held accountable. Even when it comes down to the music that you use, like I've seen people get held accountable for that. Like, you know, if your lyrics are explicit enough, derogatory enough, you can be held accountable. So if you're going to use a song, like probably use the clean version of the song. Or, you know, if there's a version of, or a part of that song that is very explicit, like maybe use another part of that song that is not as explicit. Like those type of things, like you just never know who's watching. Like, am I out here trying to, you know, be a catch-all? Absolutely not. But if I'm scrolling and I see that, I'm like, really? Right? Like, why would you do that? You know, like, let's not do that. And then, again, like going back to like being held accountable, like how you interact with people, the things that you say, if you can be held accountable for it off of social media, you will be held accountable for it on social media. And you know, to my Army folks, like that's AR-600-20, the Army Command Policy. Like that is outlined specifically. So like even bullying and harassment if you do that on social media, you can be held accountable. Like, you are not exempt. So your conduct on social media, even if you don't post in uniform, if somebody knows that you're in the service, you can and will be held accountable. So you have to just be careful. Like, don't be an imposter. Be authentic on social media. Like, be you. If you know you can't do it while you're here at work, like, don't do it online. For what? For what? Like, let the military help you grow and help you be disciplined. Like, it'll help shape you to be a better human being. If you feel like, a lot of times, like, we join the military, again, for our own personal reasons, but it's to become better. That's why, like, when First Sergeant and I have our in-briefs, like, we want to know why you join the military. And every single time, it's just to get them to understand that you did it to become better. For whatever reason, you did it to become better. So let the military do that for you. With the rules and regulations that we have, the guidelines that we have. But at the end of the day, that still translates into social media. Like, when you put your right hand up, whether you are active duty, reserve, or National Guard, like, you're still serving and you can still be held accountable. So don't risk your future, again, for something very temporary. And virality, again, is not always a good thing, because once you open up that can of worms, you're not just bringing in, like, positive responses, like, you bring the negative as well. And is it worth it? Is it worth it at the end of the day? I'm telling you, it's not. It's not. Now, like, I've had a couple of posts go viral in the past, and some of them were overwhelmingly positive, but some of them, like, generally positive. But then, you know, you had, you know, trolls come, and it's like, man, like, why are you here? But that comes with the territory. And then again, like, I've had people come up to me like, yeah, I've seen your post, and da 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 da. Like, you just never know who's watching, and that's your reputation on the line as well. Like, you don't know who's talking about you and what rooms, and how that could affect a job that you wanted in the future, or, you know, an opportunity that you wanted to take advantage of that you now have blocked because of your social media conduct. And it happens so much. So you always have to keep that in the back of your mind with your conduct. So yeah, those things with the DOD policy, yeah, those are the biggest things that I see that come to the forefront of my mind that I just wish that people would just take more accountability for and just be mindful of when they're posting and interacting on social media.
Well, ma'am, you have said so many valuable things during this course of this episode. I really feel like this should be required listening for anybody who comes in with any questions about social media whatsoever, regardless of their career field, because these are the kind of pitfalls that we want to avoid. But you also highlighted so many positive things that you can do with your image and your brand that will help you and your service at the same time. Just really tremendous, ma'am. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you coming in and sharing all this wonderful knowledge with us. And I wish you the best of luck in your time in the PAX-Q course. And
thank you.
Hopefully we can have you come back next time you're in the building.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you again, ma'am. It was really a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.